right, you can go ahead and turn your Bibles to Psalm 119, verse 97, or if you've got a handout, the verses are written out there for you. You can see at the top of the handout that tonight I'm going to be talking about scripture memory. And scripture memory is one of those topics. It's kind of like prayer. It's like, I know I should be better. And it kind of like has this association of like this feeling of guilt, like, oh, and that is not my goal at all tonight with this. This is like big rah-rah cheer you on in your time meditating on God's word. And so I'm really excited about this, something that has radically changed my life in the last couple of years, and I hope you'll be encouraged by it. But Psalm 119, 97, being in verse 97 through 104, I'll read this for us. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. So the psalmist here, Psalm 119, if you remember, in previous Sunday nights, as I've taught on this, this is all one long extended prayer to God. It's talking to God, talking about his love for the word, crying out for help, and trusting in him. And what a beautiful psalm here, talking about the power of God's word. And so what do I do with it? What do I do with that? I've got it highlighted for you already, and so we'll move through this quickly here. But I think you'll like this. So first thing that I do with the Word of God, I love it. I learn to love the Word of God. Psalm 19 talks about creation, and then it goes on and talks about the Word of God and goes and describes how amazing the Word of God is. It says that it's sweeter than honey, and it's better than money. Okay, it's awesome. The Word of God is awesome. But it is something that is somewhat like an acquired taste, isn't it? And now some people, it just, the light bulb just switches on. I was talking to a brother at a graduation party today. I was talking to Thomas Coy. I don't know if he's here tonight, but we were talking about, man, there's just like a moment that just clicked. Like, man, I love God's word. It is amazing. But we don't always feel that way. And sometimes it is an acquired taste, but I guarantee you, if the Spirit of God resides in you and you spend time in it, searching its riches, you'll love it. Totally worth it. You'll love it. Second thing, the psalmist talks about how he hates counterfeits. Okay, I hate counterfeits. You can see highlighted in blue there. The Word of God, It stands as a test against all other ideas or all other paths, okay? And at the end of this section, it says, therefore, I hate every false way. And that's where you get the strong word, I hate, okay? But I don't want anything to do with something that is different than God's word. And it almost this illustration has probably become overused and cliche, but I'm going to use it anyway. You understand how FBI agents identify counterfeit dollars, okay? Did you know that the Secret Service was originally set up for that purpose alone? There you go. So that's what the Secret Service was for, was to find counterfeits, counterfeit money. But the way that they identify counterfeit money is not by studying all the ways that counterfeit people do it differently or things that they're doing. What they do is they know the original so well. They know it so well that as soon as there's something that feels different, it looks a little bit different, they know this is not real. Okay? And the same is true as I love God's word and as I know it, I see false ways and I say, not today. That's not the path I want to go down. Third, I meditate on it. You see the verse is highlighted in gold. It is my meditation all the day, verse 99, for your testimonies are my meditation. Meditation, in our culture, has this idea of emptying your mind, right? And actually, it's become very, very popular, even among teenagers, to have moments of just quiet, like, pause, reflection, and even your Apple Watch, you can actually do meditation where you empty your mind and just breathe. That's not what God's word intends by meditation. It's not the emptying of your mind, it's the filling of your mind with the word of God. And I chew over it and I think about it. I look at it from different angles and so that's to meditate on it. Number four. Verse 98, for it is ever with me. I memorize it. And we're familiar with some other verses of scripture that talk about scripture memory. We know also from Psalm 119 earlier in this psalm, you know, your word have I hid in my heart. I might not sin against you. Okay, Joshua 1:8 has a similar idea. Don't let this law depart from your mouth, or don't let it leave you. Okay, I'll always keep this word with you. And if I have it with me all the time, okay, part of how I do that is by memorizing it. Now, some of this is lost on us in the age of having our phone in our pocket where I can always pull up a verse. I don't think that's what he had in mind when he wrote this, you know, prophetically thinking about smartphones. I think intended for us to memorize it. Number five. I obey it. And so it's not just an exercise. It's not just something that's nice to think about. It changes the way that I live. And then number six, it changes me. Okay? It changes me or transforms me. It changes the way that I think. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Verse 100, I understand more than the aged. 102, for you have taught me. Through your precepts, I get understanding. So the word of God changes the way that I think about things. And we know, as we'll see later, that the way that God changes us is we renew our minds. He changes the way that we think over time with the word of God. Psalm 119, 97 through 104. So let me tell you a little bit of my experience with scripture memory. And you'll probably identify with some of this, okay? When I was a child, I did a ton of scripture memory, okay? My church didn't do Awana, but I've heard that old school Awana was no joke with scripture memory, right? I don't know if Nathan Denny's in the room, but I know he grew up doing it. It is no joke, a lot of scripture memory. But I'd go to camps, and we would do competitions to memorize scripture, and I even won a little New Testament Bible because I got second place in scripture memory. So I was always very competitive, and so that was my first experience with scripture memory was as a child. As a teenager, my mom would pay me $50 to memorize scripture. She would bribe me to memorize God's word. That's not probably the best motivation, but anything she could do to get me to read the Bible. And I memorized 1 Corinthians 13, and thank you, Mom, for the $40. Then as a college student, I went to Faith, and actually one of the things I was required to do is memorize scripture for tests. Okay, if you didn't go to Bible college, like, what? How weird is that? Memorizing verses for tests, but I did have to do that. And I would memorize it the night before, I'd write it down, and then I would forget it forever. I did have a burst of strong scripture memory work with a group of guys at my church in my early 20s. We used an app called Fighterverse. And we would meet every week and recite our verses together, and that was a blast. But I did find myself over time getting frustrated that, oh man, I'm not remembering the verses like I used to, or this is taking up too much of my time, and eventually just kind of faded away. And every time I thought about scripture memory, I just get guilty about how I'm not doing it as much as I used to. Then, 2 years ago, I was given the book, How to Memorize Scripture for Life by Andrew Davis, and I felt like I was set free, like from the low-grade guilt that I'd been feeling about scripture memory. And I have a few copies to give away today. And I began memorizing longer portions of scripture at a steady pace, and it has changed my life. It has radically changed my life. And I'm about to do like maybe the hardest thing I've ever had to do, which is try and recite scripture in front of people. If you've ever like tried to recite a verse in front of people, you just like immediately forget it. But I'm going to try my best. And I'm not like a professional scripture reciter. My goal is not to impress you. My goal is to show you that it can be done, and that even if you are not very good at it, even reciting it, that's okay, because neither am I. But I have some scriptures here that God has used in my life in the last few years, and they'll be relevant to thinking about scripture memory as we explore some different things. So you're welcome to turn to the passages and check me. I guarantee you I will make mistakes, so don't try not to be distracted by that. So Matthew 5. So a couple years ago, I got to memorize the Sermon on the Mount, and it was life-changing. So Matthew 5, verses 1 through 20. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of things falsely against you on my account. But rejoice and be glad, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them. I've come to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot shall pass from the law until all has been accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments, teaches others to do so, will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. John 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me and I in him, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments and you abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Romans 5. This is one that I'm working on right now. So Romans 5, 1 through 6. I'll come back to Romans 12 here in a second. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access into this grace in which we stand. Here we go. Into this grace in which we stand. Okay, we're going to get there. Somebody give me the next word if you've got it. What's that? we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. While we were still weak, at the right time, Jesus died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Okay, and that's where I'm at on that passage. Romans 12, I just have 1 and 2. I appeal to you. I've memorized this one in like 10 different versions. I beseech ye, therefore, brethren, right? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your, and there's 10 different ways to say it, spiritual worship. So that I have. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may be able to discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Colossians 3. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Where Christ is, he at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. These two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, meekness, humility, patience, bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Above all these, put on love, which is able to bind everything together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not be harsh. Do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. I'm getting fuzzy here. Fearing the Lord. Work heartily as to the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive the reward as your inheritance. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong that he has done. There is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master who is in heaven. Thank you for putting up with me there. Scripture memory has had a tremendous impact on my life. And I just want to share some reasons why you should consider picking up scripture memory. I did print these off in like the most obnoxious way possible, where you had to flip it like this. Sorry about that. But here's why you should consider picking up scripture memory, and I'll try and move through these quickly. It's a great way to meditate on God's word. Again, don't be confused. Meditation is not emptying your mind. It's filling it with something. So fill it with God's word. I just said this to my father-in-law earlier today. The worse you are at memorizing, the more you will meditate along the way to memorizing. So if you're bad at memorizing, that's okay. The goal is not necessarily just to put a bunch of verses in your mind. It's to meditate. And along the way to memorization, you will get to do a lot of meditation. Okay? And this is true for all ages. Not everyone is good at scripture memory, and it does get harder as you get older. But let me encourage you, even if you do struggle, it's worth giving it a shot. And you'll find that God has designed our brain in an incredible way. It's a muscle. So it's something that gets stronger the more you use it. And so the more you practice, the better you'll get. Your brain is not something that just remains the same. It will get stronger as you work on it. And so I encourage you to work on it. I have my good friend Austin Wilbanks in the back. And Austin came over to my house and helped me level some dirt at the house. And David Mathis has a great illustration here with raking and digging. So when we were working on the dirt, to work on a large area, to smooth the surface, we used a rake. Okay, you got a lot of space, but you only got about this deep. But to go deep, you want to use a shovel. So daily Bible reading is like raking. You just make your way through it. You're trying to cover a lot of area with a rake. But memorization and meditation is like using a shovel. It's in the same spot, but I'm going deeper. Okay, it's a great way to help you meditate. Number two, you can take it with you wherever you go. Scripture memory allows you to have your Bible with you while you're in the car, on a bike ride, at work. Or here's what's impacted me the most, is in the middle of the night. I don't know if anybody is like me. I wake up in the night like almost every night and actually have a hard time going back to sleep. And scripture memory, one of the best things has been in the middle of the night, I can think about scripture. And actually Psalm 119 says that a few times too. It's like, man, when I'm in the up before the latest watches of the night, I think about your word. And so meditating can allow you to think about it in the middle of the night. But anywhere you go. B, it helps us to slow down and think about God's word. People today, and this includes myself, we need to fill every moment with noise. Bill Eds is not here, but when we were running, we were talking about, what do you listen to while you run? And he says, oh, I just run in silence. It's like, you're sick, dude. You know, that is messed up. And but it's true, like my generation, especially, like if you're in the car, it's like, I've got to have a podcast or music. And we don't really like silence. I think it's good to be silent and meditate on God's word. It's kind of countercultural, but it does help us to slow down and to think about God's word. I do think that having our Bibles on our phone has made us not really consider memorizing scripture like we would if we did not have the access that we do. And we live in an age where, like, I mean, if you've interacted with AI at all, like one of the things that it's doing is it just making it so I can take shortcuts. I don't actually have to do it. It can just be done for me. Okay. That's not the way heart change works. You can't just use AI to change your heart. It takes a lot of time. And scripture memory and meditation is a great way to do that. Number three, it changes you. The Holy Spirit uses the word of God to change us. Okay, and we heard it in a couple of those passages that I quoted to you. The Colossians 3 passage where it says, we're putting on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Part of how God changes us is he changes the way we think through his word and knowing him. Okay, and so it changes us. We, in a sense, rather than just vague truths that, like, I think this is true, we can give the Holy Spirit the word in our hearts and mind to change us, okay? They're solid. And the promises are solid when they're memorized. Think of that Romans 5 passage. I have peace with God. And I have hope in suffering. Okay, wow, that truth is so precious. When word for word, I think it's really helpful, okay? Number four, changes the way we interact with others. Okay. Again, Colossians 3. Isn't it interesting that we quote Colossians 3:16, the singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We admonish and encourage one another through those things. But before that, what comes before that? It's letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, you're saturated in the word of God, and it impacts worship, and it impacts the way that I encourage and admonish you, and you admonish me when the word of Christ is dwelling in you richly. Okay, it changes the way that we interact with it. Okay, number five, it'll change the way that you talk to God. This is probably the thing that's had the biggest impact on me. As I work on reciting scripture or memorizing scripture, I will just pray it. And on my best days, that's how I pray for our church. I was thinking through the John 15 passage before that was the sermon that I preached when I came here. But it looked something like, my father is the vine dresser, or I am the true vine and my father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me, he takes away, and every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And I'd pray, God, you are the true vine, or Jesus, you are the true vine. God, you're the vine dresser, and you care about people enough that you will make it obvious if they're lost. And those who are your children, you work on them and change them. Thank you, God. Do that in my life. Okay. You can just see how scripture can change the way that you pray. You're praying God's word as you're meditating on it, and it will radically change the way that you talk to God. And, so as I close, I have some practical suggestions. Okay. First off, consistency is more important than volume. This is true of Bible reading. This is true of prayer. This is true of every spiritual discipline. Just doing a little bit every day is better than cranking it out for an hour on Monday and then forgetting about it the rest of the week. And so consistency is key. Okay. Number two, find friends to do it with. Okay. You can encourage others and they'll hold you accountable. Three, set goals. Okay. And I'd encourage you to set goals like, I want to memorize this chapter and I want to try and have it memorized by this time. These next two are probably the most important ones. Number four, keep getting back up. I know that when I embark on scripture memory, I'll do a week and maybe 2 weeks, or maybe I'll memorize a large section, and then life gets busy. I don't prioritize it, and then I stop. And it's just like, oh, what am I going to do? You know what? You're not trying to win a prize, unless you're an Awana, I guess. You're not trying to win a prize. It's not a competition. The goal is heart change and meditation. Just get back up and do the next days. Keep going. Okay. Number five, do it for joy. Because God's word is worth it. It's not a competition. It's not something that you need to feel guilty about. I think that you'll love it. I think you'll love it. And you will find tremendous joy in meditating on it, thinking about it, sharing it with others, singing about it, talking to God as you do it. And I think you'll love it. So final thing here. Okay. I've got a couple of resources here at the bottom, but I want to highlight, two specifically. And I'm going to give books. I've got books to give away, but the first is, how to memorize scripture for life. So let me just share briefly on how this plan works. Plan. It makes it sound really, really formal, but it's pretty simple. So this is what I do. If I'm going to memorize a verse of the Bible, all that I do, during my regular Bible reading, I'll open my Bible and the verse that I'm working on, I look at it and I read it out loud 10 times. Really simple. And I'll maybe emphasize a different word every time that I say it for the 10 times. So I just say it. Okay. While we were lost, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Or while we were weak. Okay. I just say it 10 times. Okay. After saying it 10 times, I close it. I'll probably have to peek at it multiple times as I go. And I say it, try and say it from memory 10 times. And then I'm done. I move on. I keep going. And let's say it was day number two of my scripture memory. So that'd be day one. Day number two, I would say the one verse that I have memorized now, or try to say it. And then I would say the next verse 10 times out loud as I read it, close it, try and recite it 10 times. And then I recite the two of them together. And then I move on. And what's wonderful about it is you just keep going. You just keep going. You just keep going. And the other thing that is amazing about the Andrew Davis method is it is a great way to memorize large portions of scripture. And there are fighter verses. Navigators have great scripture memory programs where you memorize individual verses. But I would encourage you to consider memorizing long portions of scripture. Because just like we don't want preaching that just picks one verse out of isolation, you'll find that when you memorize longer portions of scripture, you'll see verses that you would have skipped over, and then you're glad you didn't. And then you got a greater context on those like home run verses, right? And so would encourage you to consider that. Okay, I have books to give away, okay? First one is Andrew Davis, How to Memorize Scripture for Life. Also, if you look on the handout that I gave you, there's a link. He basically has the book online as a PDF. Thank you. Okay. But this book goes into a little more detail, gives some great stuff. Okay. I've got three of these that I want to give away personally, or really want to give away. If you'll read this, you're not necessarily committing to memorizing entire huge portions of scripture, but that's the goal. If you'll read this, would you raise your hand? I'd like to get, okay, we've got one, two, three. Okay. All right. So those three. Okay. This is Donald Whitney's Praying the Bible. By the way, both of these are mercifully short. Like you could read one chapter and be done. Like, oh, I get it. Okay. That's one of these books. Okay. If you would read this, I'd love to give it away to you. Okay. One, two. Okay. Is there another one? Right there. Okay. So you can come pick those up afterwards. Thank you so much. If you've got any questions about scripture memory, I'd be glad to talk to you. Let me pray and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you. God, thank you for your precious word. It is wonderful. It is better than anything that we could eat. It's better than anything we could spend our money on. It's so precious. And so, Lord, help us to be a church that joyfully meditates on it. We think about it and we dig deep into your word to know it well. And one of the tools that we could use would be to memorize it. God, free us of guilt, of low-grade guilt of not memorizing scripture, but that we'd be fueled by joy just to love it, to know it and enjoy it. Help us to be a church that reads our Bibles and prays and meditates on it. And along the way, we'd memorize it. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said together with joy and enthusiasm, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.